This, I do believe these are the last days. I don't know how long that is. I do know that we are closer to Christ's coming than we were yesterday and 1,000 years ago and 2,000 years ago. We are closer. So I know that. And we also have warnings about what will happen in the last days. And one of the things that will happen, God's word will get distorted and twisted. And nothing more twisted than who Jesus is. Jesus is a real person. God is real. He is not left up to the imagination of individual people. It is not something, well, I believe Jesus is this, so therefore he is. Jesus is what he says he is, and he's real. There are a lot of folks who believe in a Jesus, but are not necessarily, it's not necessarily the Jesus, the one the Bible tells us about. And there are what John calls false prophets. And today, we're going to be looking at what he says about false prophets. And you say, Brother Andy, that doesn't go with the theme of what we've been talking about. For six verses, he's going to address an issue that is very important and was very important to them at the time. And I believe it has everything to do with what he was talking about. And we'll get into that in a minute. 1 John, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 6. You don't know how many people are confused about how to get to heaven. There's a lot of folks confused about who Jesus really is and about who God really is. And the reason, one of the biggest questions, the most asked questions that I get is, why are there so many different denominations? Why are there so many different belief systems out there? And part of the answer people may not like, but the answer is they're worshiping a wrong God or a different Jesus. One that they have concocted instead of one that the Bible clearly proclaims. So with that in mind, and pardon me, I'm used to looking up, but our monitor is gone. Beloved, you all be not believing each and every spirit, but you all be testing the spirits, whether it is of God, because many false prophets have gone out and continue to go out into the world. This is the fact that there are false prophets. Not everyone says the same thing about Jesus, about God and His Word. There's different people who say different things. Can they all be right? The answer is absolutely no. There is only one truth. We are to never assume every spiritual experience or demonstration of spiritual power is from God. Spirits. Did you know that there's more than just the Holy Spirit? Do you realize that there is an unseen war going on all around us, even today, between the Spirit of God, His angels, and Satan and his spirits? I just had this overwhelming feeling of peace and calm. So therefore, that must be of God. Really? How do you know that? Well, if you want to know, that Ouija board. You ever done a Ouija board? I did when I was a kid. It was kind of scary. You know, we didn't know any better. But that Ouija board said that you should do something, and you know, do you believe it? But it was supernatural. It happened. Something happened. I could attest to it. We have got so many people today who are going by their feelings, by their something they see that might not be out of extraordinary. what they might call miracles. The idea here is it says you need to test the spirits. We must test spiritual experiences and spiritual phenomenon to see if they are in fact from God. Fortune telling. Okay, you've been to a Chinese restaurant. You've opened it up, haven't you? Come on. I like it. I like to do that for a laugh. Astrology. How many of y'all know what your sign is? I used to laugh at it too, because I always, you know, look at it and I'd say, what kind of foolishness have they got for me today? Or maybe a strange spiritual experience. I don't know. That you just puzzle your head and you're going, here's the problem. The problem is people today are just assuming that's from God. And it very well may not be and probably isn't. Many, when first encountering the reality of the spiritual world, do you know there's a lot of folks out there that they don't even give a second thought about something spiritual on a level of, you know, it's just whatever's physical, whatever's in front of them. They live their lives day by day. And then when something happens from the spirit world into their life, they all of a sudden go, oh, they're amazed. I'm afraid some Christians are like that. They don't understand about God and how He can move in their life, and it's on a spiritual basis. And they may be, if you have that, if that those people have that happen, then they're amazed and are too impressed to ask, is that of God or is that of Satan? What kind of spirit is it? And this leads to easy deception. The spiritual world is real, and don't believe all the spirits. We have a whole denomination today, denominations, that believe that you get the spirit and then you do all kinds of crazy things and speak all kinds of crazy things and doing some holy dances and, it's craziness. Now, there's no rational explanation for it, so they assume it's a spiritual experience. And guess what? It probably is a spiritual experience, but what spirit is it? That's the question that needs to be asked. This is important to test the spirits, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And even though the early church had a strong life, and the early church had a measure of purity, John still knew the danger of false prophets and their message was real in the early church. And you know what? They've gone out and literally says, and they continue to go out. If there were that many false prophets, then guess how many there are today? A bunch. So who's supposed to test the spirits? So who has this test designed to know, well, that's of God and that's not? Well, guess what? It's the responsibility of every Christian, but especially of the congregational leadership. And according to 1 Corinthians 14:29, let the others judge. And 1 Thessalonians 5:22, test all things, hold fast what is good. Testing the spirits is the work of the body of Christ. And when someone says, the Lord told me this, it should be tested. Don't take anybody's word for it. All prophecy is to be judged by scriptural standards. It's never to be received just because it's dramatic or it's given by a specific person. God will... Here is the thing that we can count on the best, the most. God will never contradict Himself. He is the same as He was in the beginning of us and He's saying today. He never contradicts Himself. Now, this means that we know what He's already said in His Word, and He will never contradict it. In 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21, it says this. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. There's a lot in this verse, but the main thing is, it's not, I want to talk to you about it, it's not a private interpretation. This means that there will be agreement and confirmation from the body of Christ. Though, perhaps or probably, not everybody will agree or confirm, but it won't be a private one. Do you know how many private interpretations of Scripture, especially of prophecy, that there is? I can assure you that if I come up with something no one has ever come up with in the Scriptures, you can pretty much count on it being wrong. All right. Let me do this. I'm going to pick on you, Dan, okay? Dan, what if I said, and I truly meant this, and I'm not kidding with you, what if I told you to quit your job and wait for another job that was coming? I said, I've been praying about it, Dan. I've been praying about it, and I think you need to go another direction. What? God told me this. Jesus is going, no. Think about this. Think about this. You know what his answers to me should be? Who are you to tell me that? Just because you think that God told you this? But what about this? What if I told you that and you said, well, God's been telling me the same thing. And then other people come up to you and said, Dan, I've been praying about you, for you, and I think maybe you need to. Then you have something to work on. How many people have been led astray by one man's private interpretation of a Scripture, and they just follow him without looking at God's Word to see what it says and see if it contradicts? This is important. You know why it's important? Because there are so many private interpretations of who Jesus really is and what Jesus actually does for us. And then we continue on. He says, by this. By what? The Spirit's testing the spirits. You are all knowing the Spirit of God. Each and every spirit that is acknowledging Jesus Christ having come and continues to come in flesh, he is of God. In other words, you can know the truth from not the truth by who they think Jesus is. And every spirit that is not acknowledging Jesus, it is not from God, and this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have all heard and continue to hear, that is coming and now in the world already. Lot there. True prophecy and true teaching will present a true Jesus. In John's day, if you're wondering what about him coming in the flesh, in John's day, the issue about Jesus was is if he had truly come in a real body. Yeah, there were called Gnosticism. They didn't believe. They believed that Jesus was God, but that he didn't come in a real body. He couldn't have come physically because that would have tainted him. Now, that's the argument of the day, and it lasts, well, even until the day in some places. They actually thought he was a phantom or a ghost, that he could walk on the seashore and not leave footprints. I mean, that's what they believed. And so when John's talking here, when he says, and each and every spirit that acknowledging Jesus having come and continues to come in flesh, he is of God. Well, just go back to the very first or second verse of John. These hands which had touched him, seen him, handled him. John said, if they are saying that he is not flesh, you don't believe a word he says, because it is not true. Today, some groups deny that Jesus is really God. It's just the opposite. They believe Jesus really was walked the earth in flesh, but now they believe he's not really God. Jehovah's Witnesses, they believe he's a minor God or a junior God. Mormons, they believe, well, they kind of believe he's a God, but they also believe that you can become a God too. And Muslims, they believe that if there's another God besides Allah, then that's blasphemy. They deny that Jesus Christ is God. But way back in John's day, in this time closest to the actual life and ministry of Jesus on this earth, people didn't have a hard time believing Jesus was God. They had a hard time believing that he was a real man. And this false teaching said Jesus was truly God, but was really a make-believe God. He wasn't real. Today we are passionate about saying Jesus is God. And we should be. But it's no less important to say Jesus is a man, because unless he came as a man, he couldn't have been able to save us. He couldn't have been able to make the sacrifice for us. How does that all work? I really don't know. But the humanity and the deity of Jesus is so important to salvation. And John knew this. They had to have the right Jesus. Now, is this the only test? That he came in the flesh? You're saying, well, Brother Andy, so you're telling me that if you ask them and they say, they ask him if Jesus Christ was a real human being and they say yes, then you can believe them? Well, that's not the only test. But it's a principle that we need to look at. The broader issue of the test is, are people telling the truth about Jesus? If you don't get Jesus right, you don't get any of it right. And that's what he's trying to say. No one who presents a false Jesus can be considered a true prophet, teacher, or preacher. Today there's a lot of curiosity about a true Jesus. Have you seen any of the movies and the documentaries and the shows on the History Channel in search of the true Jesus? You know what that means? What that means is they're trying to find, they're not believing the biblical account of Jesus, and they're trying to find out, who he really was. Can I tell you something? The Bible is a historical document. We have more information on Jesus than we do 99.9% of all the people in the past. From 2,000 years ago. We have more records from the Bible. It is true. We can confirm what has been confirmed to be real has been confirmed, and what hasn't been confirmed can be assumed to be real because the confirmation of what we know through archaeology and history and all the other stuff to document that this Bible is correct. It is real. And so what happens is these folks come up and they say, well, we know that he was walking on water, and so we know that that can't happen. Well, if you believe the rest of it, then you believe that there's an mighty, omnipotent God, all-powerful God that can spoke the world into existence. So what's walking on water? I believe it. But they will say, well, I believe Jesus was just a good man. I believe that he was a prophet. But God's son, no. I believe that he was a revolutionary. I believe that he was a man who came and he just walked the earth and he spread good tidings. But he look, you know what the common denominator in all those statements are? They're someone's opinion. They're creating their own Jesus instead of what is found in the only documented account of who he really is, and that's God's word. They're making him up. Too many folks are making Jesus up. It's kind of like, well, in the Old Testament, God was this vicious, mean person who was hurling lightning bolts at folks. And then Jesus came and he kind of calmed God down and presented another way. There are folks who believe that. That's a false Jesus. Jesus is God. God is Jesus. He's the manifestation of God here on this earth. Oh, I get upset when I see these things on TV. They'll start out quoting scripture and then by the end they're way off with aliens and stuff. If you've seen them, you know what I'm talking about. They believe the biblical Jesus is make-believe. Let me tell you something. Not only is this person ignorant, the people who say this about Jesus, and what I mean by ignorant, they're ignoring the historical record of who he is, but they're also arrogant. They're arrogant. They believe that they can make Jesus into who they want Jesus to be. And we have so many preachers and teachers, and yes, I'll call them false prophets today, who are making Jesus up and hindering people, the gospel from going out because they don't understand that Jesus Christ is the only way to get to heaven. It is through Jesus Christ. Let me put it to you this way. If you believe that you can work for your salvation, that you have to do this, 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 and this, and work for it, or that you believe that being baptized saves you, then let me tell you something. You have a wrong Jesus because Jesus paid it all, and we don't have to do a thing except accept it. What the Bible says about Jesus is true. I believe it with all my heart, and if I didn't believe it, I wouldn't be up here. Period. To deny the true Jesus is the basis of the spirit of the Antichrist. John's already mentioned that earlier. It's a spirit which both opposes the true Jesus and offers, not only does he oppose the true Jesus, but he offers a substitute Jesus. Someone who didn't sacrifice everything for your sins. Someone that didn't give you grace and mercy at the cross. But one that says you have to earn your way from here on in. That is a false Jesus. That's not a true Jesus. Let me tell you what. The devil does not care if people go to a Jesus like that because he knows it won't save them. You might say, and I don't mean this bad. I don't. Matter of fact, it makes me sad. But Mormons, they're good people. They believe what they believe. Jehovah's Witnesses, man, if we had that kind of passion that they had, I mean, really, about spreading the word. But I hate saying this. No, I got to say it. They don't believe in the Jesus of the Bible. They don't believe in the true Jesus. The one the Bible tells us about. The one that the Bible tells us he went to the cross of Calvary for our sins. Lived a sinless, perfect life. He was born of God. He was God. And when you deny the lordship of God, what he did, all Jesus did was die. Period. And if he was just a good man, he would have never been able to sacrifice himself for us because he would have been a sinner. But it's the Spirit of God, his Spirit, that knew no sin. The devil doesn't care. Doesn't care at all if you know Jesus or love Jesus or pray to Jesus, as long as it's a false Jesus. a make-believe Jesus. A Jesus who's not really there, and therefore a Jesus that can't save you. Satan wants people to go to that kind of church, to hear that kind of false prophet. And though it'll have its ultimate consummation in the end times, political and economic rulers, with an Antichrist, the essence of this Antichrist spirit is present with us today. It is found everywhere where a false Jesus is promoted in place of the true Jesus of the Bible. That's tough. Guys, that's tough. And for those on Facebook who probably are going, what? Check it out yourself. See who Jesus really is. And not what someone tells you He is, but find out what He is, who He is and what He's done for you. And quit denying who Jesus really is. And then as we go to the last verse, the protection of God. Verses, they are themselves from the world. Because of this, they are speaking of the world, and the world is hearing them. We are from God. He is He who is knowing God. He is hearing us. He who is not of God, He is not hearing us. From this we are coming to know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. If you're a saved child of God and live in fellowship with Him, you'll know spirit and truth from error pretty quick. This is the protection of God. The child of God need not fear the spirit of Antichrist. I'm sorry. Go back to verse 4, please. I'm sorry. I just skipped verse 4. This is an important one. You all are from God, my dear children, and you all have overcome and continue to overcome them, because greater is He in you than all the one and in the world. The child of God, if you're a child of God, you don't need to fear the spirit of Antichrist. You should be warned about it, because you have the indwelling of the Spirit of God in you today. You can't, you got to understand, you know Him because He lives within you. The indwelling Spirit that lives within you is greater than He who is in the world. And who is in the world? Satan and all of his allies, all those other spirits. There are some people who are so scared to death of, the devil's coming after you. I don't have to worry about it. I am secure in His hands, in His arms, and He will keep me. He is greater than anything else in this world. These other false Jesuses are not. But when you truly have God's Spirit living and dwelling with you, the believer has a resource for victory. The vital presence of the indwelling Jesus, which makes victory in life always possible. It helps you to know who the real Jesus is. And the real Jesus should be living within you. You should know error. If somebody tells you you have to work for your salvation, you're going to hell, laugh at them and say, no, that's not the Jesus I know. And I know Him personally. He lives within me. He is greater than any false prophet. He is greater than the Jim Jones. He's greater than all the cult leaders, David Koresh, all the cult leaders have put together. He's greater than all of them. He's greater than the Antichrist. He's greater than Satan himself. And in your life, you can look back and should be able to look back and realize that Jesus Christ, His Spirit, is living within you, and there's nothing that can touch you. There's no doubt that you should have. And this understanding gives great confidence and spiritual power. For those walking in truth, victory is assured. It says they have overcome them and continue to overcome. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And that means that the Christian has no place for fear. We have many spiritual enemies, But not one of them is greater than the Jesus that lives within us. Now let's go to the Spirit of Truth in verse 5. They are themselves from the world. Because of this, they are speaking from of the world, and the world is hearing them. And in verse 6, we are from God. He who is knowing God, he is hearing us. He who is not of God, he is not hearing us. From this, we are coming to know the Spirit of Truth and the Spirit of Error. Those who are of the world are evident because they speak as of the world. Now it comes back to something that, how we speak. The influence of the world is evident in their speech. As Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You ever said something that just came out and you wished you had it back? And you say, I didn't mean that. Well, you did. You did mean it. You just didn't mean for it to come out. Because that was what's in your heart. You lapsed a little bit. You notice something. Nobody cusses at church. At least I don't hear it. I walk around, everybody saying nice things, and they're really put on their best airs, and we're always really nice and everything, and I don't hear any cussing or fussing or whining, complaining, not during the service anyway, and I think it's great. But let me ask you a question: is that the way you talk when you leave? No, I shouldn't have said that. Because it's guilt. We're all guilty in some way, shape, or form. We don't talk the way we lots of times. I guess the bottom line is this: do you talk in a way that people will know you're a Christian, or do you talk of the world for you to get along with the world? You see, you need to talk in a way that the world understands you, but you don't need to talk of the world. If you've got that problem, and I understand there are patterns of talk and the way we talked before in our life before we were saved, or maybe the environment that you work in. I understand that. But don't make peace with it. Don't just say, that's the way I am. Get God involved in your heart and your life and tell him, Lord, I want to change. Those who are of the world are also evident because the world hears them. If you're of the world, guess what? You're not going to get rejection. They're going to think you're one of them. They face none of the rejection of the child of God will face from the world. The more you talk about God, the more you will be rejected and the more you will be shunned by this world. And so a lot of folks just don't do that. A lot of folks want to make people think, well, I'm not so goody-two-shoes Christian. So we talk like the world. You know why? Because we want to be friends with the world. In its official doctrines, the Roman Catholic Church has claimed this to be us. Go back to verse 6. We are from God. He who is knowing God, he is hearing us. They claim that to be, the Roman Catholics claim that us to be the Roman Catholic Church. But John can only be talking about the apostles and their true authoritative revelations in the Bible when he says us. John's talking about the apostles. So we know, if someone hears what God has said in the Bible, it's from the apostles. Because that's who wrote the Bible. That's who God inspired to write the Bible. So he's not talking about in this particular sentence if everything, but he's talking about everything. This is everything that God has spoken to us about through the apostles in the New Testament. And the reason why that's important, because he says this will help you to know between the spirit of error and the spirit of truth. The bottom line of this whole message today is if you really want to know the truth, don't ask me. Don't ask someone else. If you really want to know the truth, don't go turning your TV on and listen to the television preachers. If you really want to know the truth, read it for yourself. Study it. Everything I said here may be totally wrong. But guess what? It isn't. Because it's from God's Word. But it could be. I mean, I had Dan trying to quit his job a while ago. No! Find out for yourself. And the authority, he who is knowing God, he is hearing the apostles through his Word. He is hearing us. He who is not of God does not hear us. If you're not of God, you're not hearing what he's talking about. What he's written. You're not hearing it. Before you're saved and you picked up the Word of God, did you understand it? Or did you get frustrated and just throw it back down? You got to know God first. If you want to know the difference between spirit of truth and the spirit of error, it's going to be from His Word and from the Spirit of God. See, there is a spiritual element to this, a spiritual dynamic. The error is spiritual. It isn't about just being educated and being smart. I know some very, very, very educated and very, very smart people that can still be influenced mightily by the spirit of error. Satan knows exactly what you want to believe and finds those things that lead you to believe it. But keeping the spirit of truth is a spiritual issue. I'm going to bring it back around now. The spirit of truth is a spiritual issue. Knowing what's right and what's wrong. How do we know? John 14:6 says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me." He says, "I am the truth." And so we can keep the spirit of truth by clinging to Jesus, the real Jesus, not the substitute Jesus, but the real one. It's the importance of the true Jesus to keeping close to Jesus to remain in the truth. We have to stay close to Him. We have to abide in Him. I know so many folks today who are out of His will and His Word think that they are go on their own. They can privately interpret the Word of God. The problem is this, is they're interpreting it privately. And they're in a lot of spirit of error. They're leading a lot of folks astray, those who will hear them. There is nothing greater to test these spirits than God's Word. I would suggest to you that you test these things in your life with God's Word and see if it's true. I can tell you today, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that Jesus Christ is real, that He came, born of a virgin, that His mother was Mary and His father was the Holy Spirit. His father was God. And He lived a perfect and sinless life with a perfect spirit. And because of that, He was able to sacrifice or pay the price for our sins on the cross of Calvary. And God accepted that sacrifice. And then 3 days later, He rose from the grave and went bodily to His Father, sitting on the right hand of His Father, where He is today. Any other message or idea about difference in that, what I just said, you're talking about a false Jesus. You're saved because of not what you've done, but what He's done. And so this morning, it's my prayer today that we will worship the true Jesus. That we don't have make-believe Jesus who just comes and goes in our life the way anytime we want, and that we can make Him think that, you know, when we tell Him and when we tell others, oh, me and God has got this. When we tell others, me and God's got a deal worked out here. Guess what? I wouldn't listen to a word He says, because that's not who Jesus is. Jesus is truth. And we're to cling to Jesus, and therefore we'll know the difference between truth and error. And now hopefully today you see that. Hopefully today you understand that the Word of God is so important. And if you're here today and you don't know the truth, you've never known the truth in Jesus Christ, it's my prayer today that the Spirit of God is dealing with your heart, that there's something He's telling you that you need to get right with Him. Would you do that this morning? Would you come to Him and give Him your heart and give Him your life? So as we stand and we prepare for an invitation, I don't know your heart, don't know your life. I'll tell you this, though. God knows it. He knows exactly what you want and what you need in life. He knows that you're here today and you need Him as your personal Savior. And right now, I believe He's convicting your heart to do just that, to make that decision to follow Him, to trust in Him, and to give your heart and life to Him. And in turn, He'll cause His Spirit to indwell in you, seal you until the day of salvation, and you will be a born-again child of God. What a wonderful idea Jesus that is. So you can come today and respond to Him. Child of God, you need to really know where to find your truth at. And that truth is found in God's Word. Well, I don't know God. I don't know His Word. I want to study it. Learn it. Deal with it. So that you will be known beyond a shadow of a doubt when someone comes to you and says, well, they committed suicide and they're still going to hell. No. If they know Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter. So as we stand today and we sing, would you